Raven. Did you hear that? That's the sound of Raven early in the morning. Raven lives in a house on the side of the hill in Capaquin. Oh, Raven is a hen, by the way. She doesn't actually live in the house. That's where the Lynch family live. Three little girls, Eva, Shuan and Anya, and their mum and dad. Raven is their prize hen, and everyone from Ballyduff to Lismore has heard about her and the giant eggs that she lays every day. But it wasn't always like this. You see, Eva, Shuan and Anya had pleaded with their parents to get them a hen for ages. They didn't have any pets, and wouldn't a hen be lovely? Think of all the eggs she'll give us for free, Mammy, begged Anya. Mam had eventually given in to the idea and agreed to get just one hen. And the girls would have to look after her, feed her, gather the eggs every morning, clean out the hen house and all the stinky hen poo. But they didn't mind. They were delighted. So off they went to Frankie Mulcahy's farm in Capaquin. Frankie was a millionaire farmer. He was known to have the best milking cows in the world. He treated his cows like queens. Every morning he'd play soothing music for them in the milking parlour. Bit of Enya, bit of Coldplay, and sometimes Ed Sheeran. You see, the cows produced the sweetest, creamiest milk. And Frankie knew it was because they were so relaxed and happy on his farm. The milk became famous around the world. Even the Kardashians loved it on their cornflakes. Frankie was a millionaire, but he was also a very kind, helpful man. So when the Lynches arrived looking for a hen, Frankie was more than happy to help. See this one here now, he said. She's me prize hen, Raven. Lays up to 50 of the finest eggs every day. You can have her now for €200. Steal. €200, Mam gasped. Now, I know I said Frankie was kind and helpful, but he was originally from Cavan and a shrewd businessman. I know now, Miss Lynch, you can't scrimp when it comes to hens. You treat Raven right and you'll have him queuing up around the block for eggs. That one'll pay your mortgage be next year. Mam couldn't keep in the laughing. Was Frankie Mulcahy as cracked as an egg? Then again, he really was a millionaire, and she read in OK magazine that Meghan Markle and Lionel Messi were also big fans of the Mulcahy farm milk. But €200 for a hen? Dad would go spare. Right, girls, she said. This is coming out of your communion money. I must be going soft in the head. With that, she handed the money over to Farmer Mulcahy, and off they went with Raven, the apparent amazing hen, who looked very, very ordinary, in fact, a little bit scrawny, in a cardboard box in the boot of the car. Eva, Shuan and Anya couldn't wait to get her home and settle her into the little hen house that Dad had built from an old pallet of wood. But Raven didn't look too impressed. The haughty little hen went into the corner of the hen house, stuck her head in the straw and looked to be sulking.
In now to the new surroundings. No money back now on livestock. No, nothing like that. That's me policy. Sorry now, Miss Lynch,
said Farmer Mulcahy. Well, I'll tell you something, Frankie Mulcahy. €200 for a sulking chicken. It's been a whole week, not a single egg. And she's in... Hello? Are you there? What's that music?
That's just a bit of loose Capaldi for the cows. I'm milking.
Oh, Mum gave up. She was so annoyed. She spent the afternoon gardening and listening to the radio full blast. She was halfway through the weeding when something very peculiar happened. Raven emerged out of her little house, like a model on the catwalk. She looked happy. She was rustling her feathers, moving her head from side to side. She was dancing. Mum put down her gardening tools and took out her phone to film it. But as soon as the next song came on, Raven froze. She turned on her little heels and went back into the hen house. But Mammy, what song was it? Asked the girls later. Do you know, I think it was good old Dolly Parton, a legendary country music singer. Your father always had a soft spot for her. Dad smirked. Who? The girls had never heard of this Dolly one. Come on, get your phone, Eva, said Shuan. I have an idea. Out they bounded to the hen house, where Raven was in her usual sulking spot. The girls typed Dolly Parton songs into YouTube. And within seconds, nothing short of a miracle happened. Miss Raven was out of the shadows, dancing and laying egg after egg. Of course, Farmer Mulcahy plays music to all his animals. Raven must have been listening, and that's what made her lay so many eggs. That's why, if you ever drive through Capaquin, look out for the house on the side of the hill. You'll see a queue of people waiting to buy these famous eggs. And if you roll down your window, you might just hear the music that makes it all happen.
You waltz right in the door, just like you've done before, and wrap my heart round your little finger.
Tremore is one of the nicest places to go in Waterford, wouldn't you agree? The amusements, the metal man, the beach, the chips, oh, and the mermaid. If you go to the prom or even the Guillemine on a nice day and look into the water, you might see the mermaid of Tremore, Miss Evie Lawton. She's 6 years old, but she'll be 7 very soon. Okay, so they just called her a mermaid? She doesn't actually have a real tail. But no, she's a mermaid because she's an amazing swimmer. Did I mention Evie is also extremely clever? Of course, everyone's clever in their own way. But Evie was brighter than a 1,000-watt light bulb. You could say she was more tuned into the world than some people. Surprise noises mightn't bother you, but they did bother Evie, and she didn't like them. She doesn't especially love shoes or socks either. You see, Evie has what she calls sensories, just things that she doesn't like, and she has to try really, really hard with. There's some clothes that she just can't wear and food that she just won't eat. But she knows it's because of her sensories, and lots of other kids feel that way too. So there's things she absolutely loves and things that she's not so crazy about. Now, Evie loves Jess, her little sister. But when her cousin Isabel comes to play, well, she's ecstatic. And that's where our story begins. Mom had taken Evie, Jess and Isabel to the beach. Actually, they'd taken someone else too. Mr. Snuggles. Evie's absolutely beloved big brown snuggly teddy bear. They spent hours making a giant sandcastle and a moat on the sand. The girls even put Mr. Snuggles into a bucket and he floated around the moat like a little pirate bear. It was great fun. Good night, girls, said Mom later that night. She was heading down the stairs when suddenly, Mr. Snuggles! That's when Evie realised she must have left Mr. Snuggles behind on the beach. Oh no, the sensories. Sometimes she could feel them bubbling inside her, and right now it was really like a volcano going to erupt in her tummy. This would mean putting on her shoes and her socks and her coat and going out with Dad to find Mr. Snuggles. This was not something Evie liked. She was thinking all these things in her head, but she could also hear her own voice telling her, keep trying, Evie. I know you don't like this. Try it for a few minutes. It might be okay. Just try. She looked in her wardrobe. Oh, shoes. Her runners? Nope. Flip-flops? No way. Wellies? No, not feeling it today. The golden sandals? Yeah. Beautiful. Sparkly golden sandals. Oh, she just loved them. Yes, she thought, I will wear the golden sandals. I can do it. She sat on her bedroom floor and she put on her sandals. By the time Evie and Dad got to the beach, the tide really had come in. And if it had, Mr. Snuggles had gone out. Way in the distance, they could see his big teddy bear head bobbing up and down in his bucket. Evie knew what she had to do. Her golden sandals began to shine really brightly, and the next thing, a golden light was moving around her legs. She was growing a dazzling mermaid tail. Dad did a double take. Splash! She was in that water and swimming out to rescue Mr. Snuggles. No more bubbling feeling in her tummy, just brave and free and happy. As she cuddled up to her beloved teddy bear later that night, Evie asked, Mom, do you think Mr. Snuggles wants to say thank you to my mermaid tail and my golden sandals? Because only for them, I wouldn't have been able to rescue him. No, said Mom. Mr. Snuggles wants to say thank you to you. The golden sandals helped. But you had to put them on you and take those first steps down to the beach. You tried really hard and you kept trying, even when you thought your sensories were going to stop you. Now that's brave. Good night, our little hero. Yes, Evie knew she was quite the hero today. You see, heroes have to tackle big obstacles to do brave things. But sometimes, those obstacles are invisible, inside of you. And nobody else might know that you had to deal with your feelings or your thoughts or your sensories first. Some days you'll try really hard and it might not work. But it's the trying part that makes you the hero. Evie slept really well that night. She knew her sensories would still be there tomorrow, but she was proud that today she had tried her best. And as for that mermaid tail, she'd be straight back down to the beach in the morning to see if it would appear again. But Mr. Snuggles would be staying at home this time. I think that cat is like a spy, laughed Mam. Look at her there, like Lady Muck, watching everything we do. She hates when we close the doors, and instead she'd rather sit in the hall and spy into every room in the house. If only Mam knew just how right she was. The cat in question was Sydney, an 11-year-old feline who lived with the Power family in Mount Pleasant in Waterford. Oh, Sydney was fond of the good things in life. Fine milk, expensive cat food. If it wasn't Whiskers, Sydney didn't want to know. One thing Sydney adored more than anything was her 6-year-old best buddy, Michaela. Michaela Power was the kindest, happiest little girl you could ever hope to have in your family. Even though Michaela was busy at school some days in St. Mary's in Ballygunner, and she had her great friends Tara and Rose, Michaela never forgot her pet cat Sydney. But what Michaela didn't know was that Sydney was more than just a pet. She was also a top secret, secret agent working for WI5, Waterford Intelligence. Protecting the people of Waterford from the biggest threat they could ever face. Someone stealing the recipe for the blah. The secret has been kept within the city walls for centuries. And although many have tried to steal it, they have never succeeded. And that's not just down to good luck. That's where Special Ops Unit WI5 come in. They have special agents all over the city and county, from Avondale to Abbeyside, Ballybeg to Bunmahan, and one of them is stationed in Mount Pleasant. Special Agent Sydney Power. Sydney has been tasked with guarding an ancient piece of paper with the full recipe for the blah written on it. Only a few bakeries like Walsh's and Hickey's and Barron's know the secret recipe. One afternoon, when everybody was out, Sydney was guarding the house as usual. Suddenly she heard a loud clatter and a terrible racket in the utility room.
Oh no! Betty's coming for me recipe!
She just knew it.
Drop your weapons. I am a special agent cat, trained in the art of ninja, taekwondo, muay thai, judo, and hurling,
said Sydney in her fiercest little voice. And yes, she had an Australian accent. Well, her name is Sydney, after all.
That's what you think, pussycat,
laughed a dog.
We're taking your recipe, like, and we're going to make millions selling blahs in Cork. Ye Waterford lot have had them blahs for far too long.
It's not just Cork,
said Victor, a Russian husky.
We go international with the blah from now on. Bah, I take this recipe this very day back to my homeland in Russia and we create best food, the Russian blah. Now where is it, pussycat? Hand it over or else.
They say that babies are born with hurls in their hands in Kilkenny. It's an incredible thing. Now, it's not quite like that here in Waterford. But that's not to say we're not brilliant hurlers. But did you know that many of Waterford's legendary players passed a secret test, even unbeknownst to them as babies? The hurl in Moses test. Legend has it there are very few babies ever born in Waterford whose parents didn't get a visit from Coach Roach. Very few of the parents even knew who Coach Roach was, so you can imagine their surprise when he'd arrive into the hospital or to their house and introduce himself. Yeah, little lamb. Oh, he gorgeous, baby. Little button nose. Oh, yeah. Congratulations and all that. Now, here's a present. And I'd be wanting it back tomorrow, mind. That's Coach Roach for you. He's in his 70s now, but still coaching the junior county team. Coach Roach was only a little fella himself when Waterford last lifted the All-Ireland trophy in 1959. And he's determined to do everything in his power to make sure they lift it again in his lifetime. Oh yeah, see, you just had the baby. Yeah, you'd be wanting your sleep and I suppose loads of coffee and all that, love. Yeah, he'd say to the new mothers. Do us a favour, girl. Put this hurley in under the baby in his Moses basket tonight. If he sleep like a log all night, not a peep of him. Ring it straight away in the morning. I'll be back to collect me hurley anyway. Now, most newborns don't sleep for longer than 3 hours, but astonishingly, a few of them, with the help of this hurl, slept all night. Coach Roach believed that it showed they were at peace with the game. In his 50 years of searching, he'd found scores of brilliant players who have done this county proud. Coach Roach now looks after the under-12 team for the county. All of the players on the team were carefully selected using the hurl under Moses method. Except one. Coach Roach's grandson, Barnabas Rufus Roach. Barnabas loved physics and reading. He could spend all day working out the cosmic inflation theory or the Big Bang theory. But poor Barnabas didn't really feel for hurling in his heart. Not wanting to let his granddad down, he'd plod along to every single training session. He was always there. Match days were never a problem because he never made the team. But Barnabas didn't mind. That was until the Kilkenny under-12 inter-county friendly final. Coach Roach was roaring on the sidelines. His lads were losing by 2 points and there were only minutes left in the game. That's when the starring player for Waterford, Barry Byrne, the right corner forward, got a cramp in his toe and had to come off. "Where's me subs?" shouted Coach Roach, looking at the bench. Danny Dunn was gone to Santa Ponsa with his family. Andy Lawler was in Saturday school detention again. That just left Barnabas. Before he knew it, a high ball was coming fast and strong in Barnabas's direction. He wasn't even being marked. The Kilkenny lads didn't see him as a threat. Nobody else on his team was coming to win the shot. Time stood still. Barnabas looked up at the slither, turning and turning in the air as it made its way down. The rest of his teammates looked on in horror. "Barnabas, what are you doing?" But in his head, Barnabas was using his physics to work it out. Okay, according to Newton's law of motion, I'll have to jump half a metre to catch the ball. According to Newton's second law, a force applied to an object will change the object's acceleration. If I then angle my hurl 260 degrees east and shoot, yes, I should hit the goal. We need the 3 points from this goal rather than just 1 point over the bar to win the game. Here I go. And so, applying every theory of physics he knew, Barnabas Roach jumped up, grabbed the ball, grabbed the slither, and belted it into the back of the net. Goal! His teammates carried him high on their shoulders. Epic! Ledge! What a way to show those Kilkenny hurlers. As they walked into the dressing rooms, Coach Roach was glowing with pride. "I was wrong, Barnabas boy. You mightn't have been born with a hurl in your hand. And you mightn't have passed the hurling Moses test. But you're a grand little hurler all the same. You have dedication, loyalty and a brain stronger than any tackle. You're what this game needs, boy." So, did Coach Roach give up visiting all the newborn babies of Waterford with the hurling Moses test after that? What do you think? Hello, congratulations, lovely baby. Do you like GAA? Here, I have a present for you. I'll need it back tomorrow, under the Moses basket.
Tell everyone that you're in love with me. Congratulations and jubilations. I want the world to know I'm happy.